You are tuned into Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Indeed, we are powered by the SID Media. The number to dial is +27 734 703 520. That number again is +27 734 703 520, so that we can engage with us as we speak about all things women, right? So building a strong marriage on biblical principles involve applying foundational values on teachings and from the Bible to the relationship. Today, we will discuss some key aspects and discussion points on how women can contribute to building strong marriages based on biblical principles. And we are joined on the line by my shepherdess, Shepherdess Namusi Mutoya, who's going to be helping us with this. Good morning, Ma. How are you?
Good morning. Good morning. I'm doing great. How are you doing?
We are good as well, Ma. Thank you so much for coming through and speaking to us. Before we start, I'm going to ask that, can you please pray for us?
Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we worship you this morning. We thank you that this is a great day that you have made and created. We want to pray that you be with us even as we discuss this important. In Jesus' name, we pray even for the dear listeners that will listen in. Thank you for hearing our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen and amen. So, we are speaking about all things building our marriages, right? On, in fact, strong marriages. The, you know, inspired by the Bible, right, or biblical values. So, what are some of the biblical values? You know, for example, such as love, forgiveness, and selflessness. Can women incorporate into their marriages and build a strong foundation?
Thank you so much. The topic is saying building values that women can incorporate in marriage. Mm-hmm. So we are looking at building strong marriages on her end. Mm-hmm. And this is where we are saying the woman has to take responsibility to make the marriage work. Mm-hmm. So she has to be the initiator. It's where she tells herself that I'm going to be the bigger person in this relationship to demonstrate willingness to work on these marriages. So I thought I should give a little bit of a preamble on that one so that we really get it that it is the woman most of the time want to say, what has he done? What is he going to do? Mm. But we want to say it is you, the woman, being the bigger person in this relationship. So we are saying building values that women can incorporate in the marriage. What are values? What are values? That is one thing that we also need to define as we are looking at this. So we are saying this is something of importance. These are guiding principles or standards of behavior, beliefs on what is good and bad, and they inform decision-making and direction. Having defined what values, then we can go to answering the questions, the values that the woman needs to incorporate. Number one, let's start with love. Why? Because marriage is love. So we are saying this marriage, we need to find love, and this love should be unconditional. Let me talk a little bit here about the love triangle. The love triangle is saying for us to have complete love, there has to be commitment, there has to be the intimacy, and there has to be the passion. So we are saying it's a relationship where you have to be committed. It's a relationship where the intimacy should be there, and there should also be passion. That was value number one. We go to the next one. We want to say there should be acceptance. What is acceptance? This is approval. This is open-mindedness. This is the willingness to love unconditionally. Because Romans 15 says we need to accept one another as Christ accepted you. So we are saying the woman has to eliminate some self-righteousness. Why does she do that? Because if you've not accepted your partner, you end up thinking you are holy than them. Mm-hmm. You end up thinking I'm better in this relationship. And aspect of anger will be coming. So that when there's no acceptance, it doesn't allow growth. Mm. So we are saying we need to accept both the weaknesses and the strength of our partner. Mm. And that will call for you listening to them, giving them the freedom, and not controlling them. Mm. It is also a time to say, I need to allow my partner to be different. They are not me. Mm. They need to be different. It also calls for you appreciating that their faults could also be hidden virtue. What am I saying by here? For example, if somebody is generous, if somebody is a spender, that could mean maybe they are generous. So you need to start seeing. Exactly. So you need to start seeing their faults as virtues. And when there's acceptance, we are saying it creates a safe space in marriage, a place you look forward to. You want to go back there because somebody has accepted you. Mm-hmm. What is the other value? There's forgiveness. You know, marriage brings a lot of issues that can bring a lot of conflict. You clash in values. You clash because of your background is different, differences, money issues, parenting styles, so many of them. So you can't stay in marriage without conflict. It will come whether you want it or not. It will come.
True.
So we are saying here that if you cannot forgive, then don't marry. Don't marry. Stay away from marriage. Marriage is for people that can forgive. So it's where you need to have an attitude of forgiveness. It is an attitude. The willingness to overcome. The willingness to move on. The resilience to bounce when we've had issues. What is the other value? We are talking about excellence. The Bible says, Proverbs 12, verse 4, an excellent wife is a what? A crown to her husband. So she's outstanding. She strives for the very best. So here I'm saying marriage takes effort. It is for the strong, you know. So it also brings in the other value of selflessness. The wives have to be submissive.
Yeah.
They have to meet their partner as needs. Philippians 2, 3 to 4 says, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility regard others as better than yourselves. Let each of you look not to your own interest, but to the interest of others. So there are so many values. Let me talk about two more. Respect. This is number one, men's need. And respect is simply focusing on your partner's good quality. You know, being willing to build a good relationship, valuing their feelings, and being responsible and reliable. If you respect somebody, you'll be responsible. What do you do when you as a woman, you are financially strong? Even when you are financially strong, you need to respect the man.
True.
So we are saying another last value, which is very, very important that I don't want to leave, is effective communication. So we want to say they have to communicate effectively. And how do we achieve it? A simple listening. How do we listen? We don't need to be judgmental.
Yeah.
The eye contact. We need to be sensitive. The talking. We don't need to be correctors. We don't need to judge. And we need to take time to bond. The other day I was reading a book, a heart to heart, that was telling me that the issue of bonding, it's not for the young and the beautiful. The bonding is for everyone. And how do we bond? We need to look at each other. We need to touch. We need to call each other. And so in communication, we are also talking about anger management and friendship. I think the values are a lot. Let me end there.
Indeed. And, you know, when you spoke about the issues of respect, I know it somehow, so listeners, please don't come for me. Somehow it goes hand in hand, you know, with the issue of submission. And I know the issue of submission has become with the younger generation, if I can say, a very topical one, where we say, why must we submit if the men cannot provide? etc., you know. So how can now that biblical concept of submission now be understood in the context of marriage? And that's how it relates to mutual respect and partnership.
Wow, that's not an easy thing to do. That's not an easy thing to do. As you've said it, you know, it's easy when the man is meeting their roles, for you to be able do what? For you to be able to respect them. You know, when the man is a provider, when the man gives you security, when the man do all those roles, it's easy to submit to them. But we are saying submission here is where you declare yourself to be inferior. You put yourself to be under authority. I've gone to so many organizations. I've never seen organizations, maybe they are there, but I've never seen where there are overall two CEOs. There will always be one CEO.
Yep.
So they are saying it's where you give due respect. You know, talking about the issues of submission, let's go a little bit to the army. Maybe let's go to the armies, like soldiers or so. Let's get an example from there. You see, when an officer sees a superior, they do what? They salute. whether the officer has a little body,
Ish.
whether the officer looks sickly, whether the officer, you know, there are those, you are big, whether your body is big and you can say and just hold them. But we are talking about being under authority.
Mm.
We are saying you submitting to your own husband, like Ephesians 5 verse 22. So we need to honor, we need to cherish, we need to speak with respect, we need to allow them to lead, we need to relate with them with love, we need to be humble, we need to see them as a hero. We need to say, this is my man. He's a man among all men. In Zambia, we have a language called Mambwezi. They will say, Monsi Mutupu. He's a man above all men.
Mm.
So 23 is saying husbands are the head of the wife.
Mm.
So that is why I was giving the example to say there will always be a CEO.
Okay.
When we need one overall decision to come to, you know, there are times where we argue on certain things. So the man can give his overall decision after. Of course, a good leader will involve the wife, and we that can be a discussion for another day.
Mm.
But here we are saying respecting the office. Like, you know, when a president comes, you may not really like them, but because they occupy that important office, you give them the due respect.
Mm.
Sure.
This concept of agape love, I don't know if it's possible with human beings. I'm not saying it's not. I don't know, you know. But the teachings, you know, of agape love, of love, you know, how does it now guide women in expressing selfless love within their marriages? Because, yeah, we do say if we can't bring the bread and the butter, the love is conditional. You know, there are a lot of things that we do, but how does it now guide us?
Well, the agape love is this self-sacrificing love, the selfless love. We are saying here that it's really easy when the love comes with conditions to say, no, I'll do this because of this.
Mm.
I'll do this because he bought me, like a Range Rover. Let me use Range Rover because he bought me a Range Rover.
Mm.
I'll do this. So it becomes easy that way. But the love that we learn from the Bible is the love that we find in Romans 5 verse 8 that says, while you were still sinners, Christ died for you, or Christ died for us, whilst we're still sinners. So we see the love where somebody chooses to say, I am going to love regardless.
Mm.
It's unconditional.
Mm-hmm.
It's not expecting anything in return.
Mm.
It's not based on anything. It's putting others first.
Mm.
You know, putting others first, we are talking about needs that we find in a relationship. People come in a relationship with a lot of emotional needs. The men will want their respect, they'll need their sexual satisfaction, they'll need their wives to admire them, they'll need all those. The women will want their affection, you know, they'll need their domestic appreciation. I've done something in the home, I want him to be able to appreciate. It's easy when your partner does those. But the love that we find now here is Christ's love. Why does this love become important? Is I choose to be the bigger person in the relationship, and I motivate my partner to love me because I've shown them unconditional love.
Yeah.
I've shown them unconditional love. They've put me best. Then I'll start saying, wow, look, this person, I did this. The automatic thing is I've done a bad thing, and she's supposed to respond with a bad attitude. And they say, no, I'm going to be bigger than that. I'm not going to do tit for tat. I'm going to do it differently. So now it is the love that is challenging. It is the love that God wants to give us. And we want to say here that it is not love that we can do on our own. It just comes when the Holy Spirit is in us. When God helps us, he gives us power, because the ordinary is to revenge. The ordinary is to say, okay, you came back late. Tomorrow, you don't see your breakfast. You know, you did this. So that is the normal one. But here we are saying, because you don't deserve it. You don't even deserve it. Because for God's sake, you're a child of God. I'll do the best for you, even when you don't deserve it. So that is the agape love.
Yeah.
Whilst we're still sinners, Christ choosing to do something for us.
Mm-hmm. So looking at our prayers, Ma, I know that, you know, I don't get why women, we are the only ones who are called spiritual, you know, prayer warriors. I mean, men are also, you know, but it's always referred to as women, you know. So how can incorporating prayer and spiritual unity strengthen a marital bond based on biblical principles?
What we want to say here is that talking about prayer, it's easy as a family to pray together.
Mm.
When we pray together, automatically the unity falls in place.
Mm.
We wake up, this morning we're having our devotion and we're holding hands with the children to pray.
Mm.
And as you pray, there's that aspect of connection.
Mm.
So the family altar is what we recommend in the family, because automatically you start the day with God.
Mm-hmm.
They say the morning is like it's the gate to the soul.
Mm.
So when I invite Jesus in, it's like I'm able to overcome so many issues along the day.
Mm.
So we are saying, even when now he doesn't want to pray, remember we are talking about building a stronger marriage with a woman being responsible, taking initiative to build this marriage.
Mm.
We are saying, we are believing that God can still perform miracles with prayer. Because
mm-hmm.
as we pray, God will transform us.
Yes.
As we pray, we'll learn to depend on God.
Mm.
As we pray, we'll treat others as God treats them. Even the issues of anger, we'll be able to manage them.
Mm-hmm.
We get connected to the people that we pray for.
Mm.
We can't pray for somebody and fail to develop love for them, you know. So automatically God transforms our hearts, and our partner is even able to see that I'm seeing something different. So this is how I see how prayer can bring about the marital bond. So you can't pray for somebody without thinking about them.
Yes.
It's like you're asking for God's favor in their lives. And by so doing, that's how God is even able to perform these great miracles. And our partners are able to respond to that care that we show them. And they're able to see that, hey, this woman, they are praying for me.
Mm.
Then certain battles that we experience in marriage, they are not ours.
Mm.
It's the devil that we are fighting.
Mm.
So we need to know that what we are fighting is not our partner.
Mm.
What we are fighting is the devil. Your partner is not your enemy.
Mm.
Your enemy is the devil.
Okay.
And so that's why to build this marital bond also, we need to invite God in our relationship so that he can give us the power to be able to have this agape love that we're talking about, to love unconditionally.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what I can say on that.
Mm-hmm. So coming to conflict resolution, Ma, you know, what are some of the biblical principles that we can use to resolve conflicts in our marriage? Because they are there. They are there and we need to resolve them, you know. So what biblical principles now can we use to resolve conflicts in our marriages as women?
The conflict, talking about conflict resolution,
mm-hmm.
I want to say earlier on, as I said, that conflict resolution is just a serious incompatibility between two or more opinions. You know, it is a battle. It is a fight, especially sometimes a prolonged one.
Mm.
So we want to see here that there are two plans for conflict. There's Satan's plan for conflict and God's plan for conflict. What is Satan's plan for conflict? Satan's plan for conflict is to deceive.
Mm.
In John 8, verse 44, is to steal. What does he want to steal? He wants to steal our joy. He wants to steal our happiness. If possible, he wants to kill our marriage. He wants to destroy it. John 10, verse 10. You know, he comes except to steal, kill, and destroy.
Mm-hmm.
That is his plan for conflict.
Mm-hmm.
But there's also God's plan for conflict. What is God's plan for conflict? God's plan for conflict is to teach unconditional love.
Mm.
You know, this is where we learn that love is patient. Love does not boast. Love is not arrogant. Love does not insist on its own. It's to teach us unlimited forgiveness. The first one, we find it in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 5. The second one of teaching us an unlimited forgiveness, Colossians 3, verse 13, is saying it's unlimited forgiveness because it doesn't mean that when I'm going to forgive my partner, then tomorrow they won't error. Tomorrow they won't error. They will make the same challenge.
Mm-hmm.
Then it's also going to teach us patience.
Mm.
So we are learning here that we need to have the unconditional love, the agape love that we're talking about. We need to have the unlimited forgiveness. We need to have the patience, because these conflicts are going to come. Sometimes we are failing to differentiate. Sometimes we are failing to communicate. Sometimes we are having high expectations. Sometimes we are having high values for our partner.
Mm.
And how do people now want to resolve the conflict?
Mm.
Some just insist on saying, I have to win.
Mm.
I'm the one who should win. Others are saying, well, I'm going to withdraw. It's okay. Let him be doing his own thing.
Mm.
But we are saying, in God's way, God is going to help us to resolve these conflicts.
Mm.
So to resolve the conflicts, now we are saying we need to listen and understand each other.
Yep.
We need to decide to grow together.
Mm.
We need to put each other's needs first.
Yep.
We need to develop conflict resolution skills, you know, where we need to be assertive, where we need to be empathetic, where we need to listen, where we need to use the I messages. We need to also control our anger. We need to tell God and pray. You know, then we also need to keep it a private affair. Sometimes we want to tell everybody this is what he has done.
Yeah.
So as much as possible, the more we keep it small, the better. Then there should also be early detection, early intervention. What do we mean by that? Immediately we recognize that there is a problem here. We need to do what? We need to handle it.
Mm.
You know, here is the husband who has not been coming home late, but all of a sudden he starts coming at 01.
Mm.
Then I want to say, he's come at 01. It's okay. Tomorrow he comes at 01. If the person is coming at 01, I need to say, hey, baby, you don't come at 01. How come your workplace is now releasing you late?
Mm.
Just on day one. So that if he's trying to spend time with somebody out there, he needs to notice that I've observed and something abnormal in their routine that they usually would not do. So we want to take time to talk about issues, if possible, immediately, so that we don't let them to grow.
Mm.
So we are saying God can give us these skills to learn to discuss possible solutions.
Mm.
And sometimes as we are discussing the possible solutions, we want to go to so many, all the problems we did in 1954, the ones we did in 2000.
On the 1st
even
of
last
March.
Year, even, yes, even 10 years ago, you did, this is what you did. So that becomes difficult to help us. But I want to say here that in summary and conflict resolution, the main goal should be to benefit both of us.
Yes.
We need to understand where are we coming from, what are our backgrounds in this issue. We need to see our partner's point of view. We need to ensure that the relationship grows.
Mm.
And we need to find peace as we find a solution. So we need to make sure that we are managing this. And remember, conflicts are unavoidable.
Mm.
So the early detection, early intervention is important. So we need to find a way to reduce the frequency and the intensity as we follow God's plan for resolving our conflicts.
My shepherdess, you know, as we near the close, as we wrap up, you know, marriage is, and how we interpret it, I believe, is different, but it's the same. At the end of the day, it's going towards the same destination, if I can use that, you know. But our roles and our responsibilities, they may be the same, but we have issues of culture, issues of beliefs, and so forth and so on that come into play in terms of what the responsibilities of the wife are, and so forth. But how can we now use, according to biblical principles, you know, understand and fulfill the roles and responsibilities within our marriages?
Thank you so much. So talking about the roles and the responsibilities, we are saying this role is where a mother needs to see how to care for the children, how to be a good mother, how to organize the home. So it goes for making a choice. You know, there are so many things to choose. You need to make a choice that I'm going to put effort. Mm. You need to find mentors. We don't need to do life alone. There are so many people that have worked before us who do life in a better way. And we need to make sure that we stay organized. Mm. Then lastly, ask God to help us to be able to meet our roles in our relationships.
We have heard you, Ma. I believe that as wives, we're going to work better. We're going to do better when it comes to building our strong marriages. Today, I'm going to ask Ma that, can you please pray for us as women so that, you know, we may fully embrace the marriages that we are in and we may understand that it is our hands that can build them as much as the men can also destroy, but we can build them the more, you know, so that if you can please pray for us.
Thank you so much. Heavenly Father, we want to say thank you so much for this topic that we're having on building strong marriages on our end, putting in our own efforts, taking responsibility. And Lord, may you put the desire in us. Sometimes it's as women, we want the men to start. We want them to come first. But today we are praying for your grace. That, Lord, you make us to be responsible wives. You make us that we are vessels too that you can use to make a difference in our relationship. Thank you for the listeners that were listening. We pray for that dear woman there who is making a decision to better their marriage. We thank you even for our relationship. Bless us and the rest of the day and the rest of the programs that are coming. In Jesus' name we are praying. Amen.
Amen and amen. Ma, thank you so much for coming through and always availing yourselves. May you have yourself a blessed day.
Thank you so much. Thank you. God richly bless you.
Bye.
You are tuned into Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.